Good to see you all. Hope you all have had a really good week. We need to do some prayer today. Our new lifers, Tongue, are on retreat this weekend. And also, maybe some of you heard that Kwong had their baby on Friday. So congratulations to them. I'm sure they're not here today. But yeah, that's good. He's probably hearing on the sermon cast today. All right. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for what brings us here this morning. Lord, it's you. It's you're the one who we come to worship, who we want to hear from, who we always seek to meet. It's in places like these, Father, where we really seek you, Father. We seek your presence. We seek a word from you, Lord, and we seek to be closer to you. Thank you for creating moments like these and spaces like these where it's thin, where it seems like heaven and earth get a little closer. And we just thank you, Father, for your presence and for your desire to be with us, Lord, so that we would open our hearts to you, so that we would fall in love with you, Father, deeper and deeper. We thank you, Father, for the opportunities you give us to grow. We thank you for new life and the opportunity they have to experience you on retreat. And we pray, Father, for your continued blessing and safety upon their lives and all the activities they do this weekend. Mostly, Father, we pray that your spirit would really work through the speaker and work in all of your children, all of their lives, and pray that the message would just penetrate their hearts and you would speak to them, Father, whatever they need to hear, Lord, even if it's just one thing that they need to come away with. And we thank you for Kwong and Susan and for their faithfulness here at SCAC and just how they continue to give their lives away to people here. Thank you, Father, for giving them abundance this weekend with a brand new life and just a brand new heart that you filled them with this crazy capacity, Father, to just fully embrace and love this other human being. Thank you for Madeline and for the safe birth and healthy baby she is. And we pray you continue to help Susan to recover through it all. Thank you again for this morning, Lord. Thank you for such abundance. And even through songs, Lord, that our hearts can just be filled with your goodness, knowing who you are and your heart for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Well, we're in the middle of our series, our vision series. And next week we'll be finishing up and also starting the new discipleship focus. And in your bulletin, there should be a insert, just a half-sheet insert. And is there one in there? Half-sheet insert in the bulletin today? Can someone show me? Great, thanks. Yeah. All right. So that half-sheet insert, I've just wrote a little bit more to give you a little bit of a broader picture of our vision for the next 5 years. Kind of gives you, I've been talking about the discipleship emphasis that's on one side of the page, and the other page is kind of the overall, the big 10,000-foot view, because we're actually doing a lot of changes going on in our children's ministry and also in leadership development. So we're actually hitting spiritual formation on three different fronts, and so you'll hear probably more of that in detail as the year goes on. But most of what you've been hearing today, what we're gearing up for, is discipleship, spiritual individual discipleship. All right, SCAC is about these four words, these four phrases. Let's say it together. All right, saved lives, changed lives, abundant lives, and consecrated lives. And today we're going to talk about abundant lives. What does abundance mean? What does it mean to have abundance in your life? What does it mean to be filled with a sense of joy, purpose, fulfillment, kind of in everyday life? And I get that question really often. I mean, people come up to me and they ask me, Roy, how are you doing? How's ministry going? Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Is it going well? And I tend to give very spiritual-sounding answers. I'll say, yeah, things are going really well. Of course, you've got your ups and downs in ministry as usual. But things are going good, and I usually talk about maybe some event that's going on. Like maybe I'll talk about this 5-year plan on spiritual formation, which I am really excited about. Or maybe I'll talk about some other event that we're putting on. Okay, but if I kind of just go a little bit deeper, here's my confession, right? Ministry life is amazing. I mean, I love my life. I love ministry life. It is so rewarding. I have this unique privilege that God has given me. It's crazy that that's even called me, that I get this privilege that I get to study and best that I can interpret the Word of God and teach a great congregation. And this is really cool. I get to envision and create and build kingdom ministries that will impact people for eternity. This is really awesome stuff. But in the midst of all that, what I find myself really enjoying, and sometimes like on Friday nights, I really enjoy Applebee's. 11 p.m., 20 college kids or young adults hanging out. I enjoy that immensely. 7 intensive counseling sessions with a young couple filled with excitement and anxiety getting ready for marriage. The one-on-one conversations, either in my office or at our house, having dinner and conversations late into the night. The summer barbecues, come on, that's good stuff. The Changs are known for our short ribs with Yoshidas. Real simple, but come on. A lot of you guys have been over our house, and we just go all out. It's cards, it's a letter, it's a laughter, it's words that are exchanged, it's lives that are shared. It's the people who love and invest in the well-being of the Changs and who we have the privilege of loving and investing in their lives as well. So accomplishing and building the kingdom of God is so rewarding. But joy and abundance, that comes from the connectedness of relationships and enjoying and deepening that relationship while we're doing ministry, while we're living life. Relationships are the source of abundance in my life, and I'm pretty sure it's probably the same way with you as well. A week ago, I spoke at EPIC. It's one of the college fellowships at UW, and I prayed. I did all the prep work, practiced, did all the study. I hope it was beneficial for them. I don't know, but the most enjoyable part was afterwards, because afterwards, I got to meet people. Then afterwards, Kim, Ben, Morris, and I, we went downtown, we ate sushi, and we had like really deep conversation about bathroom facilities in Japan and how they personally violate you. It's like really good college age appropriate stuff. There's a guy named Robert Putnam, and he's a Harvard professor, and he wrote probably the most influential analysis in our decade on our social well-being, the people in America, right? In a book called Bowling Alone. And this is what he writes. He says, the single most common finding from a half century's research on life satisfaction, not only in the U.S., but around the world, is that happiness is best predicted by the breadth and depth of one's social connections. That's what he says. Meaningful relationships, deep connections. Now, in our context like this, this shouldn't really surprise us because we know the Bible, and this is Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3. God created man, and after he created man, he said, it's really not good for you to be alone. And that's why we spend a lot of time in this context here at SCAC. We talk about community a lot. And for the past 5 years, there's been a focus on that. We talk about small groups. Every year, we have a series on focus on small groups, on relationships, whether it's parenting, marriage. Last year, we did a big series on just singles and dating and things like that. And in fact, over the past 5 years, our vision for abundance was centered on our small group ministry. And we stated our vision for community this way. We want to be a church where everyone is plugged in. We want to be a church where everyone's plugged in. Now, the same author, the professor, Robert Putnam, he also said this in his book. It's a pretty amazing statistic. He said, as a rough rule of thumb, if you belong to no groups, but then you decide to join one, you cut your risk of dying over the next year in half. So do you want to extend your life, right, this next year? Just join a small group, right? So in light of this really amazing statistic, we've come up with a new vision for small group ministry. It's called Join a Group or Die. All right? That's our new slogan. Very spiritual. Let me tell you what abundance is all about. Abundant lives is about becoming a community where everyone belongs. That's our vision for SCAC. We want to be a community where everyone belongs. And it's so important that we live and breathe and we pursue this. That everyone who walks in the store, that everyone has a place. That everyone has value. That everyone should be respected. That everyone contributes. Doesn't matter if you're a believer or a doubter. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. Doesn't matter where you came from. Doesn't matter if you're Asian or not. It doesn't matter if you're still a fan or if you're just a follower. This is a place where you can explore your faith, grow, connect, go deeper in relationships, serve, and give your life away. And we believe if you do that, this whole community, will all be the better for it. And if that's what you want to do, this is the place for you. So can you just do this morning, okay? Just extend your hand to the person next to you and say, hello, my name is, tell them your name. And before you do that, ask them, okay? Say, will you be part of my community. Because I think what's really important is that we're so afraid sometimes of asking people, inviting people to be part of our community. And it's something that we all desperately long for and need. It's something that we actually want to say. We're all out here kind of saying, please let me in. Please help me belong and be part of a community somewhere. Okay? So go ahead and do that. Say hello, my neighbors, and say, will you be a part of my community? All right, go ahead. Excuse me. All right, church. And I love that. And when we do things like that, when we kind of like open ourselves up, I mean, do you notice just kind of the level of everything just kind of calms down and we're just kind of relaxed in this place and we're really glad to be here and we're really glad to be with each other. And when we do things like that, we're asking people to be part of a community, to say that this is a place where it doesn't matter who you are, that you belong. What we're doing is we're really just getting in touch with who we were created to be. As you know, we were created in the image of God. God himself has a community gene, and he passed that along to us. We inherited this gene because, see, God himself is Trinity, but what we need to understand about Trinity is three in one, one with three, you know, that whole confusing thing. But the thing is God, the Trinity, is community. Sometimes we never think about it. We just think God is, we hear God is one, I understand. But actually, God dwells in this eternal, beautiful Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God actually is community. And so when he created us for the purpose, with a DNA, with a gene, that we need community. And this is what happens to a lot of people, especially in the U.S., I think. We're just so isolated and on our computers and so forth. But when we close ourselves off to community, what we're doing is we're opening ourselves up to things like loneliness, loss of perspective, fear of men, insecurity, maybe depression. And especially in times like these, with our economy, I know a lot of Americans, they are losing sleep over their relational isolation. Because this is what they're thinking. This is what people are going through. Right? What if jobs and equity and income and businesses, and what if all these things did in massive numbers start disappearing? What if all these things started closing down? What if the things that we kind of bank our security and our comfort on, our homes, our cars, bank account, 401k, whatever it might be, what if those things just started to evaporate? What would we be left with? All we would have is each other. All we would have is the family that's around us, if any, and all we would have are the networks of neighbors and friends and things like that, and our future that we've developed. And our future would largely depend upon the generosity and compassion of people that we've invested lives in. And what's sad is that that's even scarier for a lot of these people, because they would look at their lives and say, I have not invested in anyone. I look around, there's no one in my life that I've really invested in. There's no one that I've given my life to. And they think, man, who's going to take care of me if something happens? And there's people who are living this nightmare. And they're realizing it now that even though they had all these acquaintances and maybe knew all these people, they had really been living alone. And what they would give for a good friend right now. I believe that real success is the relationships we've built, the people who we've impacted their lives, who've impacted our lives, the people we've loved and who've loved us and invested in us. That's real success. Abundant Lives, you can write this down. Abundant Lives is about believing and investing in people. Could you write that down? Abundant Lives is about believing and investing in people. I believe that the greatest investment in the world is people. Not my 401k, I don't trust in that. Not the stock market, nobody trusts in that. Not some other business venture or something else you could do. I believe that people are the greatest investment on earth. That's why I do what I do. It's just logical as well, because we know that everything else passes away. Governments pass away, politicians pass away, political parties will pass away, countries and nations, philosophies, all these things will pass away. What is left? What's left are people. What's left are souls. What's left is the church. That's why these are the things that go into eternity. That's why people are the greatest investment on earth. Jesus, of course, he modeled this. On the Sermon on the Mount, he spoke to a mass of humanity. And most of this mass of humanity were the poor, the underprivileged, the underserved, the overlooked, the under-resourced, the forgotten. It's those in society that most people, well, we just want to ignore, because they kind of remind us, perhaps, of our own brokenness that tends to hide behind, you know, job titles and picket fences. But Jesus, he looked on this crowd. He elevated, he respected, he said he gave respect to all humanity, because we're all broken. He said, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then he continued to cast vision in their lives. And he said, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. Salt, we know, penetrates food, preserves it, adds flavor. And Jesus said that you would do the same thing. You would have the same effect in the world. All the people that society looked down upon, Jesus looked up upon and said, you're the one. You're the change agents. You bless the world. You light the way. And he gave dignity to all humanity. And then from the crowd, we know that Jesus, he took out those 12. They were his 12 disciples, right? And Jesus, he didn't just say, hey, 12, come together, and here's a book to read. Or here's a sermon series, here's my top 10 favorite sermons, or something like that. He gave the disciples the gift of himself. He loved them, and he invited them into community. And as Jesus' disciples, that's what he's calling us to do, the same thing today. And Jesus also, he continues today to give the gift of himself to anyone who would invite him in. Jesus died on the cross. It is a historical fact. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. And when you put your faith in him, and when you ask for forgiveness, not only does he come and forgive you, but he takes up residence in you. And he brings you into the most important community that you could ever experience. And that's community with God. Jesus said this is his purpose in life. John 10:10. He said, I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. And Jesus says, you know, he calls all of us, his disciples, to do the same, to believe and invest in people, to believe and invest in community. Right now in your life, who are you believing in? Right now in your life, who are you investing in? Another kind of maybe negative way to say it is, right now in your life, who have you just kind of cast aside? Who have you said, well, there's no hope for this person? And Jesus said, there's hope for that person. Who are you inviting into community? Who are you creating space in your life for so that other people can come in, so that you can invest in them? Maybe it's an older couple. Maybe they're struggling with their marriage. Maybe it's a student. They don't have any direction in their lives. Maybe it's someone who just lost their job, or maybe they lost a loved one or going through some illness. Every single person needs a cheering section, right? We all need encouragement. And this is what I've experienced. I don't know about you, but when I create that space and when I take that time and I invest in another person's life, in another person's dream, I don't know about you, but I feel like I benefit the most from that situation. It's kind of like we know that life is this tapestry of lives and stories and conversations that are all kind of interchanged. But I think God created us so that our fulfillment, personal fulfillment, abundance, and purpose, it's directly linked to empowering another person's dreams. It's kind of like when you help another person's dreams come true, it's like your own dreams start coming true. And a lot of people ask me, like, how do you do this? How do I begin investing in others? Because there are a lot of people, we're very isolated and we're not used to, like, I don't want to be with people, and I just kind of like to be alone by myself, and you know, I kind of like being a hermit and things like that. You can't continue to live like that. And so I just want to give you another step, and it's another vision for abundance. Okay, here's a great way to start. You can write this down. Abundance is about creating beauty. in the lives of others. Abundance is about creating beauty in the lives of others. I know that's really broad, but I want that to be broad because I want you to be creative. We're all kind of artists in a way. And we're all here on this earth as our canvas to create beauty. And that brings a lot of abundance. And I think one of the best ways to do this, to create beauty in life, is by serving people. It's by serving people. And I didn't get this myself. This is from Jesus as well. Again, Jesus modeled it. And he did it. It's one of the greatest scenes in Jesus' life where he knows that his life is coming to an end. And he has, what he does is he has this one last meal. I think that's beautiful. I think that says a lot about the importance of community. That one of his last acts on earth, when he is about to enter into this most difficult time, he surrounds himself with the community of the 12, those that he's invested his life in, that he's believed in, and that he's invested in. John 13:3 shows the picture. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. And there's a lot in that sentence right there, but what it's saying is that Jesus knew exactly who he was. If you think about all the insecurities that you might have and all the insecurities that other people have, all the issues you have and all the issues, the most secure person ever in the whole world who ever lived was, easy answer, was Jesus, right? Yeah, the answer of all answers, okay? So think of the most secure person, it's Jesus. He's fully God, yet fully human as well. He's the most secure person ever. He knew totally where his identity, his purpose, his destiny. He knew he came from the Father. He knew he was going. He had that incredible security so that he could do this, what we're about to read. It says, so he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. See, washing feet at that time was, it's just an utterly ordinary thing. It doesn't have the connotation that it has in this context today. People back then, they bathed just like we bathe today. They didn't bathe as often as we do today, but they washed their feet just the same. And Jesus, at the end of his life, said, this is everything that I am. This is who I am. Everything I stand for. My whole heart, my whole ministry, my whole life can be summed up by this. And he did not give them a book. He did not give them a manifesto. He did not give them a 12-step program. Jesus took an ordinary daily moment that has to do with dirt and grime and servitude. And he transformed it into something entirely beautiful. This is our God. This is our love. He's a God of sacrifice. He came down to wash away my filth and your filth. That Jesus, he went on to say, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. when you look at the world around us, and I hope the way that you see it is that basically there are moments of abundance that are just, they're waiting. They're just waiting out there to be created. They're waiting to be unleashed. And there are beautiful moments for connection and community that are just waiting to be birthed. And the moments that you and I seek to create, the moments that you and I create that are unleashed out of love, they bring color and light and beauty into a world that is so just desperate for connection and community and hope. And Jesus said, I've shown you the example. And so now you do it. Now you do it. Are you following in his steps? You know, some people, they think that Christianity, that God just came to make us so that we'll be nice people. You don't need to be nice and polite to be a Christian. Just be Asian and you'll be overly polite and nice. Actually, I take that back. We're pretty rude, actually, right? You know, if you're from Denmark or Finland or something. God didn't create you for niceness. It goes way beyond that. He made us to be deeply connected with others. He made each of us with this capacity to be redemptive artists so that we can look at the world and we can create beauty. We can create connection in the lives of others. And in doing so, when we do that, our lives become so attractive, don't they? I mean, our lives become so attractive and we're filled with this great abundance. This is what Jesus said. He said this radical statement, a new command I give you. Love one another. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you must love one another. All people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And so we've been asking this question every single week. What kind of disciple are you? Are you just a disciple just in Jesus' name? Or are you truly a disciple in his spirit? Now, this is what I want you to get from this verse. A lot of times, when we think of our personal relationship with God, so many times we think of our evaluation of, am I doing well spiritually? Am I growing? And we just think it's this personal relationship with God. It's just, God just sees me. And God just evaluates me, how my relationship is with him, how my heart is with him. What this verse tells us is that God measures our spiritual health by the relationships and the community that we've built, the people that we've invested in. That he never looks at you and just sees you alone and evaluates your heart, your spirituality alone. He always looks at what kind of community you've invested in and how you've invested your lives in others. And this is where joy is. This is where life is. And this, it's in relationships and deepening that. That is where abundance is. That's the kind of church we want to be. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for continuing to just speak to us, Lord, to speak to this community right here, this community of Seattle China's Alliance Church. Thank you for every person that you continue to bring here, people that have been here for such a long time, Lord. And I pray that we will never give up on relationships and never give up on community. And I know there are people here that perhaps they've been at church for a long time. And sometimes when we seek to invest in relationships, we get burned. Maybe somebody said something negative about us. Maybe we feel like we got backstabbed. Maybe just something went sour. But I pray, Father, that we would always, always take the risk of investing and believing in others. That we would never look at another person, especially maybe somebody that we've known for a long time, and just say, well, they'll never change, or they're just the way they are, and I can never be friends with that person. God, I pray that your love and grace would fill this place, or that we would have such a heart for connectedness and community, because we know that that is our lifeline, that's our DNA. And I know that there's always, Father, people that come to this place, to SCAC, every week we have new visitors, Lord. People from other out of town, or maybe they're just starting to come to church or get back into things. And I pray, Father, that they would find community here. I pray that our people here would just continue to be open and create space for newcomers. And I pray that the newcomers that have been coming here who are seeking to find community, Father, I pray that their hearts, Lord, would be open and expectant and taking those steps and those steps of faith and risk to even ask and have that posture of their heart to say, will you be part of my community? And it just kind of brings all the levels down, and we kind of put all of our facades away and like, yeah, we all need community. Lord, I pray that's the kind of church we'll be. That's the kind of church that you smile on. And that is where we find real abundance. So much more than what this world can give and says what we can build up and what we can store up in our bank accounts and our storehouses, whatever it may be. God, real abundance is what's going to last. It's the relationships that we carry on into eternity. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.